word. Again, this is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This passage has always had a particular place of importance in my life. I don't know if any of you remember, 9 years ago, this was the passage that was read at my ordination service when I was ordained and, or not ordained, when I was installed here as your pastor. This was the charge given to me. It was the charge that Paul gave to Timothy as he was preparing to die and leaving Timothy in charge of the Ephesian church. And I want to submit to you this morning that as it is a charge to the pastor of the congregation, it also implies a certain charge to the congregation itself. Let's look at the passage again real quick and see what Paul is actually saying. He begins in verse 1 saying, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearance and his kingdom. Now, this charge is a solemn oath and command. He's using a military term. I charge you. These are your orders to go out and do this. But it wasn't on Paul's own authority. It wasn't on some ordained body that he was telling him this. He said, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. Before their throne, this is what you're to do. Now, friends, this should not cause a pastor or a congregation to fear and tremble, but calling up the name of God and of Christ Jesus as the foundation of our charge or of our purpose should remind us that we stand continually before God and Christ Jesus. We are reminded, even in our charge, that we stand before God with our Savior as sinners who have been saved by grace. Paul's charge to Timothy, Paul's charge to me, Paul's charge to any pastor is to be a minister who is a reminder of what a sinner looks like when he's saved. I think in 9 years I've probably exemplified that. I have shown you a broken man who is saved by grace. We stand before God and before Christ Jesus as sinners who've been redeemed. And it is before their throne that our work finds its purpose. And then he gets very specific about the work that he gives to Timothy. Preach the word. This is the primary call of the pastor. Preach the word of God. The primary responsibility for every minister is to preach and teach the word of God. And it may seem like a ridiculous thing to do. This 15 or sometimes 20 minutes, sometimes 25, that I have before you this morning, it's just a small portion of your week. I saw on the internet this morning that there's a report that says that children under the age of 10 spend an average of 6 hours a week before a computer. How many do you spend as an adult? Maybe some of it's 6 hours a day. I have 15 to 25 minutes to preach and to teach the word of God. And what I do here in teaching out of scriptures that are 2,000 years old, and trying to relate the passage and the teaching here to our lives today, it seems absurd. It seems foolish. But this sermon, hopefully this one even this morning, the method or the instrument that God has chosen to bring salvation into the world through Jesus Christ. This is foolish by the world's standards, but it's God's design so that his power may be manifest in the weak things of the world. So here's a word of advice for your nominating committee, or when you start looking for pastors. Look for a guy who can preach the word of God and hear a sermon. I'll tell you what a sermon is not. If you have to wait 15 minutes in a sermon to actually hear the scripture read, it's not a sermon. It's a great speech, maybe an after-dinner conversation, maybe a great informative piece with a little bit of scripture filled in to emphasize a point, but it's not a sermon. A pastor is not simply put before you to tell Bible stories or relate interesting illustrations or to read a verse and then forget it. True preaching is the explanation and the application of biblical doctrine. Anything else is just religious speech-making. One of the Puritan ministers that I love to read said that a sermon must contain three R's: ruined by the fall, righteousness by Christ, regeneration by the Holy Spirit. I look back at some of my sermons and I wonder how many of them were lacking a couple of those R's. But the pastor must preach the word of God and reprove and rebuke and exhort with patience and teaching, being ready in season and out of season to preach the word. How many of you here would love to hear you can show your hand on this one, would love to hear a sermon on love? None? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of these things. These things are always seasonable to preach. A sermon on how to raise your family and how to be a good member of the society. Those are all great, favorable things, wonderful things to teach about in Scripture. But then how many of you, show of hands, want to hear a sermon on the pervasiveness of sin in our own lives? Or the ability for temptation to creep in to even the most righteous of events, like preaching a sermon? Those things are never easy to hear, nor do we want to hear them. But the pastor is called to preach in season and out. And there is a time coming when people will not want to hear the truth. They will have itching ears so that they can find someone to say exactly what they want them to say. But preach the word of God. Paul also addresses the pastor's conduct. He says, be sober-minded. Now, this isn't talking about drunkenness, though that is said elsewhere. It means keep an even head on your shoulders. Do not get carried away. When things look bad, don't panic. Be sober-minded. Endure suffering. That is, do not be moved to the right or to the left from your course because of adversity, but endure the suffering and the work that is before you. Do the work of an evangelist. Proclaim the gospel to the lost. And fulfill your ministry. This is the charge that Paul gave to Timothy. It's the charge that I received as a pastor. It's the charge given before God. And it is a charge that has an implication for you as a church as well. When you call a pastor who receives this charge, there is a necessity that you also, when he is charged to preach the word, you are charged to receive the word, to listen to the sermon, and to apply it to your lives, especially in and out of season. We must be under the word at all times, to be reproved, rebuked, and exhorted. Where you are wrong, let the teaching of the word of God from your pastor reveal the error of your ways. Where you are obstinate, or one of my favorite words, recalcitrant, that is, when you've built up such a hard shell around you and you will not be moved, let the word of God through the preaching confront you and rebuke you. Let it afflict you in your comfort. But where you are right and where the word of God is moving within you and where you are serving the Lord in joy, let the sermon comfort you in your affliction and encourage you in faithfulness. As a congregation, you are called to receive the word. But more so, when the pastor is called to preach the word with sound teaching, remember that there will be those who having itching ears will wander off from the truth. Let me tell you, friends, that's not just people on the liberal left side who get itching ears who will wander from the truth. It's really nice to hear a conservative candidate get up into the election office or the election campaign and start saying exactly what you want them to say and pandering to your conservative values. Meanwhile, tempting you to put your trust and your faith in an elected official rather than Christ Jesus our Lord. There will be those who say what you want them to say and who will lead you astray. Make sure you are being taught the full message of the Word of God. That you are being challenged as well as encouraged. Friends, remember also that your pastor is called to do all of this with complete patience and teaching. So don't try the patience of your pastor. But be receptive to his word. And be sober-minded, enduring the suffering, doing the work of evangelism. Don't lose your head. When things are tough, don't turn astray. Remember that you are called as a church with your pastor to evangelize, to share the gospel, to make Christ known. In all of this, you will fulfill your ministry. What I love about the Greek in this passage is that it means to make full proof of your ministry. Reveal to the world what you have been called to do by the way that you do it and by your commitment to it. You have been called, my friends, to glorify God. That's no small undertaking. But in everything you do, in the way you come together for worship, in the way you treat one another within the church, in the way that you respond to the sermon and to the call to evangelize and care for one another, in the way that you commit to do the work together as the body of Christ, planning events and providing for the ministry of the church, in the things that you do together, here's the body, you give glory to God in the way that you do it. When you go out from this place being encouraged by the word and you go to the workplace or to the school or to your homes and the way you care for one another there, that is how you also fulfill your ministry, by bringing glory to God. I told you at the very beginning that I'd find some way to incorporate all of this into the Holy Week, and here we are on Palm Sunday when Christ rides triumphant into Jerusalem. And through this week, he is betrayed and arrested, crucified. So that next Sunday when we gather together, we will celebrate the power and the glory of his resurrection. Monday, Thursday is coming, and we will hear the command from Christ to love one another. Even as he has loved us, we are to love one another. That is our ministry. To receive Christ as King. To love as he has loved us. And to live in the power of his resurrection. The things signified in this week, when we celebrate, when we live in that power, when we make that glory known, we fulfill that calling. My friends, there is a tremendous charge that's placed on a pastor. But just as he has been charged, so have you. In this time, especially this Holy Week, do what you can, trusting in the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, to fulfill your ministry and bring God all glory. Amen.